It's called superhero syndrome. Symptoms include feeling like you got to do everything yourself and struggling to let go of certain tasks. Sound familiar? But the good news is there is a cure. When you sponsor your job on Indeed, you'll find the candidates with the exact skills you're looking for fast. Sponsored jobs boosts your job post in search results so you can reach the people who can help your business thrive. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed. Sponsored jobs. And Side Hustle Show listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. This is the partnership playbook, how to borrow an audience, how to build real relationships and real revenue, all with no ad budget in just 15 minutes a day. I know that's a big promise, so I had to bring in some big help to help deliver. My guest is a former music executive, an Inc. 500 honoree, and someone who's driven over $2 billion, billion with a B, in partnership revenue. From OnSpark.com, Kyle Kane. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I am excited. We're diving into the tactic of partnerships. Kyle, what's got you so fired up about partnerships right now?
In a world growing faker by the day, how does somebody with a real product or service cut through the digital jungle? Cold ads are expensive. Paid outreach doesn't work the way it should. Partnerships used to be a relationship game reserved only for people who spent 20 years building Rolodexes. But now systems can do the sourcing, the matching, the follow through, which means that a side hustler with no network gets access to the same leverage that a Fortune 500 business development team has. That democratization, that's the thing worth getting loud about.
Okay, I like that. In a world growing faker by the day, we talk about ads being a way to cut the line, to rent attention in a way. But in partnership playbook, you're kind of borrowing the trust, authority, credibility, and expertise of whoever you're partnering with.
That's right. Yeah, distribution got very cheap and trust got expensive. So partnerships are really the only asset that grows in value while everything else is deflating.
On Spark, you talk about the four stages of partnership, and we're going to go through these. This is discover, verify, launch, and amplify, DVLA. Let's start at the top. Let's start with discover. Where do you recommend people start with this?
I think this is the most important piece because a lot of times what I'm finding is that we're pouring into people that are not aligned, you know, and a lot of the relationships that I was building as an early stage founder, it was based on vibes and energy, clinking champagne glasses and high fives. And that's great. But how does that turn into a measurable business outcome? How does a relationship turn into revenue? It starts with this D, with discover. So I think the most important thing is making a list of people that already have the trust of the audience that you're trying to reach. And the best way to build a list and discover a list of partners that can actually produce revenue for your business is find out where your audience funds, follows, or frequents. Where do they go? Where do they get their information? And where do they spend their money? If we could find out what those details are, then we can make an accurate list of people and actually create a discovery of partners that can result in revenue for our business.
And so in the podcasting world, this would be podcast guesting, or who are the target shows that I want to be a guest on? And it could be others in the entrepreneurship space. It could be others in the personal finance space. And so you may already have a sense of who those potential partners might be, or those potential dream guest spots might be in the example of podcasting. But where else are you looking for potential partners here, especially if you're newer and you're just trying to get started and you're trying to kind of do a little brainstorming of who, you know, what companies or what individuals might be the right fit here?
If you don't have a list or you can't think about it, I would go right to an AI tool. Create a free ChatGPT or a free Claude or your AI tool of choice and literally type in, hey, here's my ideal customer profile. Where do they go for information? Who do they like? Who do they trust? And that's going to be the first seed to building your list of potential partners.
Okay. And then you can go from there and you then The game that I sometimes like to play is the alternatives to or people like this person. And you can kind of branch out a little bit from there. I do this all the time with reading lists or, what's next on my book? I like this author. Who else should I try next? And it'll spit out some usually pretty good results on that front. So that's kind of the first stage, just building this. In the past, we've called it your dream 100, but you don't even need 100. I mean, it could be 10, it could be 20 to start out with. And I don't know if I would start at the top of that list if I'm brand new, and maybe you kind of aim a little bit lower, like the micro influencer type of strategy where it's like maybe somebody who's just a year or two in front of you. I don't know. What's your take on that?
It's less about the number and more about the consistency, because oftentimes I find, especially with the entrepreneurs I work with, that the network is already an asset that they have. They're just failing to activate. I mean, we're all meeting people. We're going to events. We're getting inbound DMs. We run into people at the grocery store, right? It seems to never be a problem about meeting more people. And it seems to be having a system or structure to turn that relationship into a measurable result. And it's usually never about more hustle. It's usually about having that structure. Founders building real partnership revenue, they're not working harder at networking. They've stopped treating relationships as a favor bank, and they start treating them as infrastructure with a clear value exchange on both sides. And if you lead by giving and you get specific about what each side gets, put a system around that, then the deals stop being lucky and it starts being predictable. And that's what that discover is all about.
This leads very well into the next stage of, well, what do I do next? I made my list. What do I do to get people to notice me, to pay attention to me, to even open my initial outbound messages? What's going on here?
Right. And that's where the mutual value exchange comes in. Oftentimes, you've got the right folks in mind that you know could move the needle for your business, but how do you get their attention, right? And this is where the mutual value exchange comes in. So every partnership should be a 1+1=11. But the only way that someone's going to know is if you lead with value, lead with something that they want. So that's the key. Once you have your list, you've got to figure out, okay, what is it that I can offer these people with nothing in return, no expectation of reciprocation? And that generosity is what compounds.
Are you okay talking through some examples of this? So listeners of the show frequently are in service-based businesses, both online and offline, freelancing, consulting, coaching, and also lawn mowing and pressure washing. Like it runs the gamut there. A lot of e-commerce and then a lot of kind of online content-based businesses where they are the brand in a lot of ways, creating the YouTube content or the podcast content or the newsletter content. Let's talk through some examples of what that offer might be. What's that initial give look like?
Absolutely. Let's do a rapid fire. You shout out the type of business and I'll tell you how I would structure the partnership outreach.
Okay, let's start offline with that pressure washing example.
Okay, so I'm a pressure washer. I am targeting homeowners, right? People that care about the house. I'm targeting people within 10, 15 mile radius of my business. So in that case, I'm going to do, number one, the old school way of free quotes, right? I'm going to look for opportunities where people look like they have the problem, they have the pain. And maybe your listeners have heard of the whole vitamins versus painkillers, right? People are not as interested in the preventative care. But if I break a bone, you better believe I'm going to go fill that painkiller prescription because I'm feeling that pain enough to make the change. So in the same way, if you go to this fancy, beautiful house, well, they don't experience the pain of a pressure washer. But if you go to someone who's obviously needs it, then that's something that they will need, right? Secondly, when we look for opportunities for one-to-many conversations, which is really where partnerships can succeed. For example, you go door to door, right? You spend 10 minutes on a pitch to someone that may or may not buy. But if you go to, let's say, a realtor that represents 50 houses, well, that same 10 minutes that you spend with a realtor could result in 50 sales. So that's what it means by one-to-many conversation instead of one-to-one. So in the example with the realtor, I might say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Realtor, I see that you have 50 houses here. Wouldn't you agree that a house with a shiny pressure-washed exterior is more likely to be sold because you've got that curb appeal, right? Well, how about this? Why don't you refer me to whoever is hiring you to sell these houses, and I'll give you 20% of that revenue. So now if I'm a realtor and I'm making money on commission only, I'm thinking, well, man, I have to show 100 houses before I get a sale. But man, if those 100 houses decide to to pressure wash the house. Now I'm getting 20% of that $1,000 fee. I'm making $200 on every house times 30 houses. I just made my monthly mortgage payment just referring this pressure washer. So now a partnership with the real estate firm could be a partnership that pays dividends. And if there's one realtor, there's 10 realtors. If there's 10, there's 20, right? So now you've got a same model that you can now cut and paste with different realtors. Now you've got a partnership pipeline of realtors for your pressure washing business.
Okay. I like that.
Going from one to one, knocking on doors. Hey, it's effective. I've done it. It's an exercise in rejection management and state management and all of that. But trying to find those lead fountains, where can one relationship lead to many, many jobs? And I think that's a good example. Let's move to e-com. We had a guest on recently who was selling kind of an anti-inflammatory coffee blend, and it was a direct-to-consumer product on a subscription basis, selling in some retail stores, but trying to kind of expand the reach for this anti-inflammatory coffee brand.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites because subscription businesses have the highest single best partnership currency in commerce, which is a recurring monthly touch point with a customer who already paid once and now you're making money on that forever. So that's one of my favorites. There's a few different plays that I think can work for subscription e-commerce. So one is what we call box insert swaps. So this means that you've got two non-competing subscription brands that drop each other's offer inside every platform. So every time that someone is signing up, both acquire customers at the cost of that one initial conversation. There's a bonus tier that we use oftentimes, which means giving your product or a version or a light version of your product free inside of another brand's higher tier, which makes that upgrade more attractive. It provides more value to that customer. And now you've got a product in a paying customer's hands that continues to pay dividends every month.
I see this with like HelloFresh. The box shows up and inside there'll be a little envelope with offers from their strategic partners in this case. Like, hey, as a HelloFresh customer, you can also get half off your first month of whatever it is. Fill in the blank.
That's right. Yeah. And this is where, going back to the discovery, this is where it's important that you're picking brands that actually have an impact or influence over your exact customer's buying power and spending habits so that you make sure that you're pouring into the right partner. So whether you're offering retail or service bundles or you're offering e-commerce promotional swaps, you want to make sure that the brand that you're partnering with has that influence over your ICP. Because the worst is, you know, when you work hard to pour into a partner, you flesh out a really strong partnership offer and you spend money on contracts and legal and you spend time on it. And then you find out that your customer actually is not their customer. So having that overlap in customer base, in mission, in values, in guiding principles, that's that alignment that's going to work with that 1:1=11 mutual value proposition.
Yes, a complementary product or service, but not competitive, where it's like, if you're already buying the anti-inflammatory coffee, you probably buy into this health conscious lifestyle. So finding brands in that space to kind of do these box insert swaps would be one example.
That's right.
Okay. How about an online content business example? One of my favorite examples from the show recently was Cheyenne Bullock, who runs a public domain radio cleaning guideline type of service, where she would take these old cool radio episodes, radio dramas from the 1950s, and where there would be a natural break in the show, she would insert her homemaking tips, like now empty the dishwasher, or now go fold some laundry, or go make the bed. And she was doing really well. She had like hundreds of paying members for this service, and it was, a lot of it was driven from social media and stuff. It was a really creative business. What do you think would be a give or a potential partnership for her?
Okay, so who's her ideal client profile?
It would be kind of stay-at-home moms, or even like busy parents, basically. The problem is the dirty house, and she's tackling it through content.
Perfect. Yeah. So in this case, there's a few different kinds of partners that could move the needle for her. But I would say, going back to what we call borrowed gravity, which is the idea that the fastest way to grow is to attach your offer to a partner that already has the trust and the credibility you're looking for. So if I'm thinking about moms, for example, well, chances are moms only trust other moms. So I would look at mompreneurs and mom influencers and people that have the mom market. Oftentimes the woman is the CFO of the household, right? So if you're being very specific about who you're targeting, you're going to be able to find partners that motivate that particular audience. So I'd make a target list of people who influence moms. I would offer a specific ask for her, or him to say, hey, this is an opportunity for you to promote my offer, and I'm going to give you a percentage or an affiliate discount for each of those offers. And then in an exchange, you're going to be able to now maybe give them some free radio spots or free marketing or free advertising for their business. So you're going to be able to lead with that generosity.
Okay. So yeah, there's the affiliate potential here. If you sell memberships for me, I'll kick you some recurring revenue potentially. But also, I will happily plug your account or your service to my members if it's a fit.
That's right. Yeah. And the generosity is really important because I would never offer the affiliate first. I think the affiliate is something that you back into once you have the trust. If your purpose is bigger than your gain, that's when the success is guaranteed. And I mean that as an operating principle, not as just a feel-good line. It's like when your reason for building that partnership serves more than just your own interest and a transactional value, it changes the way you make decisions. So you're able to attract partners who want you to win instead of just optimizing for that short transaction. I think when we lead with an affiliate first, it almost feels too transactional. Whereas if we're leading with an offer, that gives us an opportunity to build trust. And then the affiliate just seems like a natural progression of that relationship.
More with Kyle in just a moment, including his exact 4-bullet outreach message that turns a cold email into a booked call. Plus, coming up with your MVP, your minimum viable partnership for the launch stage, coming up right after this. You started your business with a dream to make extra money, to make an impact. You didn't start your business dreaming about payroll tax deadlines, yet here they are, every quarter, sitting on your to-do list. Among other things, our partner Gusto quietly crosses that task off your list in the background so you can focus on what you do best. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k and health insurance, and it works with both W-2 and 1099 workers. It's no wonder why more than 500,000 small businesses already trust Gusto to help run their payroll, and why it's ranked number one on G2's highest satisfaction products list for 2026. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's gusto, gusto.com/sidehustle. Here's a little productivity hack. Give yourself a deadline. I get it. Summer's a busy time. We've got weddings, sports, travel, kids off school. But what I found is it never really slows down. The timing is never going to be perfect, which is why you got to force your own agenda. Thankfully, our partner Shopify makes it easy to get your business up and running in the time you do have. With Shopify's templates and built-in AI tools, if you can point and click, you can set up a storefront. Plus, every Shopify store is automatically integrated with Shop Pay for checkout, which increases your conversions and makes life easy for your customers. And if questions come up, Shopify's built-in AI assistant called Sidekick is ready to help you build, troubleshoot, and keep moving. And if you prefer a human, that's of course an option too, with Shopify's award-winning customer support team. All you need is the idea. Shopify handles the rest. If you're serious about hearing your first, start your free trial at shopify.com/sidehustle today. You heard that right. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's shopify.com/sidehustle. Do you have a rule of thumb for what to put in that first message or that first email? How persistent to be in the follow-up? There's a fine line between persistence and annoyance.
Yes. Absolutely. There is a fine line. As we get into the attention era, it's like that line becomes more and more fine. So this is where the outreach message is critical. And it has to be simple. And the best way how I phrase it is there's really 4 bullet points is what we bring, what you bring, what can we build together, and why now? So an example could be, hey, Nick, I've been following your work with Side Hustle Nation, and I think there's a big opportunity for us to create something powerful together. Here's what I have in mind, what we bring, right? And I'm going to share with you one quick sentence about my value, my audience, my experience, my platform, my story, whatever it is. The second bullet point is what you bring, which means I've done my research, right? So I know your distribution, your audience, your brand affinity. Third, what we can build together. Hey, together, I think we can do this co-branded campaign where my audience will now be a fan of your show and your audience will be able to derive some value from what I bring to the table. And then fourth, why now? And that's an important piece because having a timely hook or an urgency gives the person a reason to respond now instead of, hey, I'll get back to you later tab, which we all know we may never get back to that later tab.
Right.
And then the call to action at the end, hey, let's jump on a quick 15-minute call to explore. If the synergy's right, we can tighten it up fast. If not, no harm, no foul. So that way, it doesn't seem like you're giving them homework. It doesn't seem like you're going to take an hour out of their schedule for something that's just exploratory, right? So I think in that framing of what we bring, what you bring, what can we build together, and why now, and then the call to action, let's hop on a 15-minute call and talk through this if it makes sense. If you send that out 100 times, you're going to get 5 to 10 people that's going to respond, and that's going to start your partnership pipeline right there.
Okay. Does that move us to step 2? That was the D, that was discover. Next one was V for verify. Is that the next stage of this?
It is, yeah. So how we have the DVLA, the Discover, Verify, Launch, and Amplify, it's really set up to understand where you are in your partnership journey. So if you're in Discover, then that typically means that you don't have any clarity around your ICP, ideal customer profile, and you're trying to figure out exactly who you're targeting and what your offer is. Once you get past that, where you're clear about your targets, you're clear about your offer, now the key is to make sure that you've got some proof around that. So that can take many forms. It could be a social proof, meaning you've got an audience or a community or a newsletter. It could be a case study or a white paper around an idea you have, or it could be a testimonial from one of your clients. Any of those things could result in the verification. Because in order to expedite the trust as a partner, I've got to make sure that, okay, well, it sounds good, but how do I verify what you're saying? So this is an important piece in the DVLA cycle, the discover, verify, launch, and amplify.
Yeah, especially if you're new and you're just kind of starting out, it's like, what are the little toeholds of proof that you could have? It could be this testimonial. You may not have your entire funnel dialed in where, okay, every email that we put in the top is worth $3 coming out the other side. And for affiliate partners, that's 50%. And it's all we need you to do is send this email. It's like, you might not have all of that right out of the gate. But what I'm hearing is some level of social proof, like, oh, I've built up my follower count, or we've gotten some positive beta feedback, or whatever it is.
Whatever it is, if I have a pressure washing business, I'm going to call 5 of my friends and family and I'm going to say, hey, let me pressure wash your house for free or at cost. And in exchange, I want you to give me a testimonial. And I'm going to film a 30-second testimonial of you saying how your house was terrible first and now it looks beautiful, right? Whatever you can talk about, my service, my timeliness, my attention to detail. Now I've got 5 testimonials. Now I've got the V in verification, and that allows me to go to my next stage in the partnership lifecycle, which is launch.
Okay. And so this verify stage is kind of usually happening on that quick 15-minute phone call where we're just kind of hashing out what this is going to entail.
That's right. Yeah, you want to be able to be prepared to verify your proof. And that proof can be as simple as a testimonial from a friend or family. It can be social proof. It can be a white paper. It can be an idea in a business plan. Whatever it is, you've got to have something to show, something tangible to tell that partner that you can do what you say.
Okay. So that takes us to launch, which sounds like the exciting part. That sounds like, oh, are we going to get paid yet? Or how does this part work?
The launch is about an MVP. And I don't know if any of your listeners watch Shark Tank. They use the term MVP to stand for minimum viable product. We use the term MVP to stand for minimum viable partnership, which means what are some small things that we can commit to help continuously build that trust in our partner? So it may be as simple as, hey, I'm going to show up for this meeting on time. I said I'm going to deliver this summary or this quote, right? And making sure that you do that on time and in the way, in the manner that you said you would. The professionalism is a part of it. But in some cases, it's deeper. It's, Nick, I'm going to create a playbook for your audience because I think they'll derive some value from having a practical step-by-step guide as to how to build a partnership. Now, if I didn't do what I said, now I'm already eroding the trust before a partnership even begins. But when I say something and I commit to it, even if it's a small thing, now I'm depositing chips into our trust bank account, right? And that's what's growing the relationship to the point where, okay, now we can take the next step in our partnership, which is A, amplify. So if we start off with discovering the right partners, making sure we have an overlap in audience, and then we verify that we can do what we say, now we launch a partnership with a minimum viable partnership that helps to build trust through small commitments. Lastly, we scale and amplify that partnership because now we've got enough trust to agree that we're going to work together in a business.
Let's do some examples on the launch side of what might be minimum viable here. And I think on the newsletter side, for example, like, oh, can we do a quick newsletter swap? And it doesn't have to be like a full list swap. It might be like, could you mention my upcoming book in the PS if you have, hey, my friend's got a new book out? Or it could be, you want to plug the newsletter in this little segment that you have. And oftentimes I'll say one of the tactics that maybe I shouldn't say this, but like kind of cuts through the clutter for me is when I notice somebody replies to one of my messages because I recognize that subject line. It's like, oh, this is a subscriber of mine. Like, I owe it to myself to read this and see what they have to say. And so that is one way to cut through the clutter and maybe one example of a minimum viable thing. Oh, let's do a quick newsletter swap and see if anybody clicks on this thing. Is there any interest there? But what else have you got here for minimum viable partnership angles?
The word partnership means so many different things to so many different people. And when we're talking to an early stage founder, typically, a partnership for them is anything that generates revenue. When we're talking to a brand creator, they think of brand deals. They think of, okay, a brand's going to pay me to make content. Or when we talk to our enterprise clients like iHeart or HubSpot or Vonage, when they think of partnership, they think of affiliate deal. So it depends on how you're framing partnership. One of the easiest ways to give an example of this is in the creator space. When you partner with a creator that may be interested in advertising your business or advertising your side hustle, a big thing to do would be for them to offer a creative brief. Like, okay, well, what is your post going to be about? How's it going to look? And so if they can't give you an idea or a script or an outline or a video as an example of how they're going to promote your business, then how could you possibly feel confident to go into a contract with them, right? So that's an example of a small thing that they can do to earn the trust of a business as a creator is, hey, give me a creative brief of what it's going to, hey, show me the script of what you're going to record. I'm not asking you to invest in the lights and the camera and the editing, but just give me a script. Tell me what you're going to say about my business. And then if it makes sense, I'll go ahead and partner with you and give you a percentage of the business that you refer. If we treat partnerships like infrastructure, we can build repeatable systems instead of chasing these one-off wins. And that's leading with the other party's upside first and then patient enough to build a small minimum viable partnership, meaning a small trust or a small ask, that's going to lead to the long term before anyone ever asks for a contract.
And I would add that contracts probably only come into play, you know, at a much higher level. If I'm talking about a podcast guesting spot, no contract involved, right? It's just like, here, send me the calendar link and we'll get it booked. It's all over email or message and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, with podcast guesting, it's a little bit lighter of a commitment, right? The value proposition is usually pretty clear, right? No heavy lift on a contract. You're asking someone for an hour of their time to provide value to your audience. In exchange, you're giving them a platform to promote. But I think for a service-based business, for an e-commerce business, I think it becomes a little bit more complicated. And that's where I think the trust needs to be built before you're allowing someone to represent your brand or your business. You got to make sure that they're going to represent you well. And so how do you build trust quickly without having some small commitments that you each can take to make sure that you'll do what you say in the long term?
Here's where a lot of these deals die. In my case, is long drawn out thing. Like, I need a deadline. And whether I'm on the asking side or the receiving side, it's got to be, you know, a somewhat tight timeline. You know, give me the deliverable. This is going to go in next week's newsletter and 2 weeks out, where it just doesn't linger on for weeks or months. It's like, at least for this very first thing, it's like the launch is on this date. Are you in? Are you out? Oh, okay. I can do that. Here's the swipe copy that you can customize and make your own. And it's like, get these things scheduled to go out and make it easy for the partner that you're seeking out. So it's like not a huge ask on their part and not creating a ton of extra work, but making it not so open-ended. Put a date on it, I guess. Give yourself a deadline. That's been a little productivity hack.
Absolutely. The time constraint is the key. It's got to feel urgent. Otherwise, it just goes into that pile of maybe I'll get to it later. And that goes all the way through the chain, the partnership lifecycle, especially in the beginning when you're trying to communicate your value. Most business owners think that the value is self-evident, so they describe what they do instead of what the other side gets. And that message usually dies on arrival. The person across the table is running this silent calculation in their head about, are you going to make their life easier? Are you going to give them more homework? Are you going to make their numbers bigger or their risk smaller, right? And if your pitch doesn't answer those questions in their language, then you sound like more networking noise. I've watched brilliant business owners lose deals that they should have owned because they led with their product or their business or what they do instead of what the other party's outcome would be from the partnership. So the fix is to translate everything that you offer into the currency that the other partner can understand, which means doing the work to understand their world before you ever ask them for anything and make sure that you've got that time piece there. If you think that it's going to take hours and back and forth, then you're probably not even going to bother, right? But if you make it easy, make it clear, make it simple, and make it time bound, man, that's much more likely to succeed.
Yeah. You have any other examples on the minimum viable side, either on the e-com side or the content influencer creator side?
Well, the content is easy. You can always ask people for samples of content. You can ask them for scripts, right? You can ask them to send you a previous brands or companies that they've worked with, right? So all those things can be able to verify and build trust quickly. On the e-commerce side, I think it's really about understanding what the goal is of the partnership. If it's an affiliate type of deal where you're plugging into someone for their audience, I'd want to see not just followers, count, right? Again, everybody looks great on paper. Everybody's leading with the highlight reel of their life on their Instagram stories or on their LinkedIn bio. So I really want to see the analytics. Like, show me under the hood. Show me someone that you've motivated to make a purchase. Show me your insights. Like, how many people actually engage? When you say like this, share this, follow this, how many people actually do it? I really don't care about anyone's follower count. I've seen brands waste so much money paying for audiences of millions of followers to get zero. And conversely, I see companies that are partnering with micro-influencers with just a few hundred people, and they're actually getting real revenue results because they built the trust and those people have influence over their target market.
Right. That makes sense. Is there a stop here where deals die because it's like, on closer examination, this is too much work, or it's not a fit, or there's a little bit of risk if, you know, I'm kind of sticking my neck out for this unknown, relatively unknown brand, and, you know, there's a reputational risk. This is kind of where I see a potential roadblock.
All types of partnerships, content partnerships, funding, investors, affiliate sales, media, data share, valuation partnerships, marketing partnerships, they're all going to die a quick death if the key is not going to be followed in terms of systematizing the relationship, building the trust quickly. There are a few flops, I would say. And if you look at some of the failures in the market today, it all kind of boils down to the same few red flags. You know, number one is lack of clear goals, right? So there's no aligned success metrics, no defined outcomes. Each side is pulling in different directions, and you don't really know whether the partnership worked or not, because you can't attribute that success. Also, I see that there's a lot of like clout chasing in partnerships. Like, people are choosing partners because they have a name or because they look good on paper, but there's no strategic alignment. Oftentimes we hear from especially business owners who are very busy. They've got kids and they're only doing this thing at nights or weekends, is that there's this unequal value exchange. One partner gives, but does not receive value. And over time that creates resentment. There's drop off.
Yeah. What do you recommend? So that's kind of a common thing in like a newsletter swap, for example. Somebody has a list of 100,000 people, somebody has a list of 1,000. And it's like, engagement metrics aside, it's just like there's this imbalance. And even the audiences are perfectly aligned, but it's still like, it would feel unfair to the person, like, oh, I'm going to shout you out to my 100,000 followers or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. And this is where the system and the structure comes into play. Having a partnership operating system, having clear check-ins, milestones, having an owner of these particular milestones along the way. So for example, in your newsletter, right? If I say, hey, I've got a newsletter, you've got a newsletter, let's share. Well, we could easily have a point of attribution where we say, okay, after 2 weeks or after 30 days or whatever, we're going to pause and we're going to measure. And we're actually going to capture the learning of, okay, what happened during this time? And you can easily put this up front to say, hey, if you receive 1,000 impressions and I receive 500 impressions, well, then you're going to run it again next month. And that way we're going to be able to level out that value exchange so that it's equal. Because if it's not a win-win, then the partnership's going to fall apart.
But if it's so mismatched where one person would have to like run it for 2 years to kind of catch up, or do you just need to chase people who are closer to your level?
No, I don't think you need to chase people that are closer to your level. I think you just need to get more creative with how you define the value. I see this in early stage founders a lot where they say, well, I want to partner with Samsung, but what could I possibly have that Samsung watch. You know, I'm over here making a little application in my basement and vibe coding an app for the Apple Store, and Samsung has $3 billion in enterprise value month over month. But the thing is, you have something that they don't have. You have your close friends or family that are customers that Samsung doesn't have, or you have this idea that no one at Samsung has thought of, or you have something unique. And that's part of the work that I do, is kind of hold this heavy mirror in front of people to say, like, look, you do have value. And not to get too deep into the psychology, but all of the things we're talking about with the red flags, that failures of partnerships, it all really boils down to these two unhealed childhood wounds in us as humans. One is lack of self-worth. A lot of us don't feel like we're worthy of that success. And so we find ways to sabotage our success along the way. And the second is lack of trust, which is harder to diagnose up front. You don't know if somebody's on their third divorce and maybe it's not a good time to trust another human right now, or somebody always gets the short end of the stick in a partnership because they've never had a system to measure. And so they just feel burnt out and they just don't want to partner with someone. It's difficult to diagnose those things up front unless you ask the right questions.
More with Kyle in just a moment, including reaching decision makers at some of these larger companies, and then the amplify stage of Kyle's DVLA framework coming up right after this. Here's a little productivity hack. Give yourself a deadline. I get it. Summer's a busy time. We've got weddings, sports, travel, kids off school. But what I found is it never really slows down. The timing is never going to be perfect, which is why you got to force your own agenda. Thankfully, our partner Shopify makes it easy to get your business up and running in the time you do have. With Shopify's templates and built-in AI tools, if you can point and click, you can set up a storefront. Plus, every Shopify store is automatically integrated with Shop Pay for checkout, which increases your conversions and makes life easy for your customers. And if questions come up, Shopify's built-in AI assistant called Sidekick is ready to help you build, troubleshoot, and keep moving. And if you prefer a human, that's of course an option too, with Shopify's award-winning customer support team. All you need is the idea. Shopify handles the rest. If you're serious about hearing your first, start your free trial at shopify.com/sidehustle today. You heard that right. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's shopify.com/sidehustle. You started your business with a dream to make extra money, to make an impact. You didn't start your business dreaming about payroll tax deadlines, yet here they are, every quarter, sitting on your to-do list. Among other things, our partner Gusto quietly crosses that task off your list in the background so you can focus on what you do best. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k and health insurance, and it works with both W-2 and 1099 workers. It's no wonder why more than 500,000 small businesses already trust Gusto to help run their payroll, and why it's ranked number one on G2's highest satisfaction products list for 2026. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's gusto, gusto.com/sidehustle. Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for somebody, even a solo operator, side hustle, nights and weekends, trying to get on the radar of a Samsung, of an Apple, of a Fortune 500 type of company, and even just getting through to a human, finding a decision maker who might be able to figure out a partnership, let alone, well, who are you again? Try and puff yourself up and be like, well, I'm not the founder and CEO. I'm the content marketing director, or give yourself a title that makes it less obvious that you're the sole owner.
Overall, 99% of the success that I've seen in early stage founders and folks just building their side hustle is taking a step back from the clout of like, okay, this is Samsung. What do I have to offer them? And really understand that there's no B2B or B2C. Everything nowadays is H to H, right? It's human to human. It's really finding one person that you can reach, that you can clearly communicate your value to, that you can identify that there's a mutual fit, that you can create a hook build a minimum viable partnership that can build trust with that person over time, and then launch and measure and grow. And a partnership that starts off with just a cold DM to the head of product development at Samsung could result in 30 days later, after consistently communicating your value and building trust, now you're meeting with the CMO of North America, and now you're meeting with the president of the division in South Korea, right? I see this happen every day with our subscribers on our partnership platforms. I can't stress it enough. Like, you're just talking to another human who has a pain point. And you may be able to solve that pain point for them, but you won't know unless you try. And it may not be the first person or the fifth person or the 10th person that you reach out to, but if you're consistent with your messaging, you're clear about your value proposition, and you lead with generosity, you're going to do the right favor for the right person that will result in your next successful partnership.
Yeah, I think that human to human bit is probably worth pausing on. And where I've had some success is, let's say there's a company that I want to partner with, or there's an app that I like as a potential affiliate, to say, and there's no like off-the-shelf obvious referral program, is finding somebody in marketing on LinkedIn where you know their job is to drive user growth. And it's like, hey, I was testing out your platform. I don't know if you have a referral program, but I would love to explore that if that's an option. And that started more conversations, even going back 10, 15 years, like in the virtual assistant directory that I ran. Like, all of these companies are looking for growth and lead gen, and they're open to the conversation, even if they don't have a built-in thing where you can just apply for. They're willing to get creative with you if you come to the table with something. And so through a cold LinkedIn outreach, it wasn't the initial person I found wasn't the right person, but he's like, oh, let me connect you with my colleague, Maria. And so who knows what will come of this down the day, kind of still up in the air, but fingers crossed that it might be something. If you don't put the ask out there, the answer is always no. So I think that human to human is a really important thing. Kyle, let's move on to the amplify stage here. I've done my discover, I've done my verify, and now I've done my launch, my minimum viable partnership. And now it worked. We collected the data, we got some results, and now we want to go back. It worked. Let's do more of what worked. Let's do it again. Or find another partner to repeat the same system with in a creative way. This is what amplify is all about.
That's it. Amplify is all about killing what's not working, reinvesting in what's working, and building a living, breathing partnership machine that will continue to grow with or without your involvement. You know, you started off small with a trusted test. You proved that test now with real attribution. Now you can escalate it to a paid channel that your partner can count on. And you've de-risked it already because you've proved what you said. And now you've got real data to base it on. You know, if you think about, like, going back to our Samsung example, right? It's like, if you're the CMO of Samsung, you have a budget that you can spend on partnerships, right? You could advertise on a billboard, you could do a radio ad, you could do a magazine ad, you could partner with a creator. How do you drill all that down to determine what you spend your money on? Well, the inside baseball is they used to use a term called CPM, cost per milli, which means that how many eyeballs do I get for every dollar I spend? And so they drill all these different things that they can do down into this one number. And that's what they base it on. Well, if you didn't do the minimum viable partnership, if you didn't have a small trusted test, then you have no way to attribute that. If I'm deciding who to partner with as a brand, I can't possibly choose you because I don't have any data. So when you start off small with a trusted test, if Samsung decides to run a placement in your newsletter, even if they only got 5 people, 10 people, 100 people, whatever that number is, now they have data. Now they have something real that they can go back and say, okay, for the $100 we spent, we got 5 people to come over. So now let's spend 500 and let's hopefully get 25 and then let's spend 5,000. And that's how you build a partnership over time. Now you're in their annual budgets and they're partnering with you every year because you've proven what you can do.
Got it. And you had another point, which is kind of asking for the warm introduction. It's like, well, now that we know this worked, it's kind of like, well, who else do you know? And this could go in either direction. Who else do you know that might be a fit? Do you know any other podcast hosts? Do you know any other newsletter operators that reach a similar audience? You may be a newcomer to the industry. And they're like, oh yeah, you ought to talk to so-and-so, especially if you have some positive results to share.
Yes, absolutely right.
All right. Anything else on Amplify?
That's it.
Turning one win into a repeatable system.
That's right.
You ever reach the end of your list and you're like, well, crap, I tapped out on partnerships?
Not anymore. Now that we've got AI, I mean, it's impossible to be tapped out. right? AI finally makes it possible to systematize any relationship intelligence that used to live only in the heads of a few elite deal makers. Now it's available to anyone. So if one partnership worked, then you can make a list of 100 more.
Yeah, I'm going back to an episode we did a year or two ago. Mike Ettenberg was selling polarized sunglasses for first responders, was kind of his niche. And maybe they were like durable or scratch resistant because they were sick of losing sunglasses on the job as a firefighter. And he's like, well, we did some influencer marketing and we sent out a bunch of pairs to these different micro influencers that spoke to first responders on social media. And I was like, well, Mike, how many did you send out? You know, I was thinking like 10, 20. He's like, oh, we've sent over 1,000 pairs of sunglasses out. It was a partnership strategy or an influencer strategy at scale. And he knew there's an 80-20 to all of it. Like sometimes people would be like, hey, thanks for the sunglasses. But sometimes they would make a video and it would get, you know, tens of thousands of views. So you just never know. But it was kind of planting those seeds kind of as far and wide as you could think. And there was probably always new first responder influencers kind of up and coming to continue that strategy.
There's always someone up and coming. There's always a new VP that's looking to make a name for themselves. There's always a new business development person that's open to receive, right? It's just about getting out there, sending the message, being clear on the value, and that consistency to find the right person that really recognizes your value. That's what it's all about. And it doesn't always take 1,000 pairs of sunglasses, especially when we're being more intentional about the people we're sending them to, right? I would dare to say that if he did a little bit more research on the D of the discover, he would find the right influencers, and maybe he only needed to send out 100 instead of 1,000, and he would have got even better results.
Yeah. Going back to your 15 minutes a day homework, kind of the framework that we've been talking through is discover. This is kind of your, identify your ideal target customer and kind of ask the question, well, who are they already paying attention to? Who are they already doing business with? How do I skip the line? How do I borrow from some of that authority, building your list of your dream 10, 20, 100 potential partners there, and then sending that initial outreach message, being giving first, trying to get creative. Well, what could I possibly give to this person or this business? But offering something of value to them, understanding how do I help them get what they want, using that in my outreach, holding up the verify portion, sharing some social proof, trying to figure out and be concrete. What are the next steps? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? When's our deadline for that minimum viable launch? And then lather, rinse, repeat, trying to amplify this thing after you found something that worked. Is that the playbook as I understand it, Kyle?
That's it. That's it. It comes down to leveraging other people's audiences to build trust quickly. There's people out there that already have the trust of the customers you're trying to reach. So let's partner with them. Let's find a mutual value proposition, borrow their trust, and cut through the digital jungle.
Yeah, thinking back, Chandler Bolt was on the show recently from selfpublishing.com. In the early days of this business, it was self-publishing school. And I don't even know if he had a website starting out, but he would do all of these joint venture webinars with people that spoke to an entrepreneurial audience, that people with spoke to kind of an influencer audience or an online business audience. And like, what do you mean you don't have a book published? With self-publishing, it's never been easier. You got to have a book. You could write it in a weekend. Here's my rapid outlining tactics and stuff. And grew to millions of dollars in the first year just on the back of these partnerships. I didn't have to have an audience myself. I'm just going to borrow from these people who already had the audience. The playbook absolutely works. So onspark.com/hustle, you'll be able to download the playbook, really the detailed outline of everything that we've been talking about here. And Kyle, appreciate you putting that together for Side Hustle Show listeners. What's next for you? What's got you excited these days?
We've been laser focused on subscriber value. So we've loaded over 8 million partners onto our database. And the cool thing about it is without having a system, like most folks are left to their own devices to figure out how to do this, where with the click of a button, you're able to access up to 8 million partners on our platform. So that's the one thing that's got me the most excited for sure.
Yeah. Shortcut your research process a little bit there.
Yep. Not only the research, but it'll craft your outreach. It'll automatically send to the partner what your unique value proposition is, and it will score and align every single partner to make sure that it's a good fit. So we're only introducing people that are vetted, that are high intent. It's definitely a shortcut through the entire partnership pipeline.
Well, very cool. We'll link that up on spark.com. And again, onspark.com/hustle to download the playbook that we've been talking through in this episode. Kyle, let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Every side hustler thinks they need followers before they can make money. And that's not true. You need one partner who already has them. Your first 100 customers already exists inside someone else's email list or their community or their client base. And that person is not your competitor. They serve the same buyer with a different product. You know, a fitness coach and a meal prep company sell to the same person and they never compete for the same dollar. So you find 5 of those, offer them something that their audience wants that costs you nothing to give, and let them make the introduction. Borrowed trust converts at rates cold traffic could never touch because the recommendation carries the credibility you cannot buy. So if I had a tactical close, I would say this, that listeners can act tonight. Write down 5 businesses that already serve your ideal customer without selling what you sell. Send each one a message offering to create something valuable for their audience for free, no strings. 1 yes replaces 6 months of content creation.
Yes, there it is. There's your homework. I love that. Kyle, this has been awesome. Couple takeaways from me before we wrap. This really is a game. If you can commit to this 15 minutes a day, doing it consistently, it's this game of relevance and consistency and persistence. You just mentioned there's a certain comfort in writing the next newsletter or the next social post or the next blog article. The kind of direct outreach that Kyle is describing, you might feel outside of your comfort zone, but guess what? That's where the growth happens. So build your gravity map, figure out a genuinely helpful offer to kind of break through the clutter, and go get it done. Remember, it's human to human. Be a good human, be a good steward of the business, and I think you'll be able to go out and build some of those partnerships by making it a win-win. Now, another partnership-themed episode that might be worth a listen if you like this strategy. I really liked Dustin Lean's partner workshops tactic in episode 465. I reference it quite a bit because I think it's replicable across a bunch of different niches. Episode 465 in your archives if you want to check that one out. But Kyle, big thanks to you for sharing your insight. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. SideHustleNation.com/deals is where to go for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thank you for supporting the advertisers that support the show. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. Fire off that text message. Let them know, hey, I got your new growth strategy. All you need to do is listen to this. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.